Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. Now, live, this is Close Up Talk Radio.
And good Saturday afternoon, everyone. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us here on Close Up Talk Radio Live Worldwide, 12 noon Eastern, here on Saturday, February 1st, 2014, the very first day of the month of February 2014. We hope you have a great weekend and a great day, and thank you for making Close Up Talk Radio, the award-winning Close Up Talk Radio, a part of your weekend. Stay tuned. We've got lots of great shows coming up as we broadcast 7 days a week with fabulous shows. We find some really interesting guests that we celebrate and that we showcase that are inspirational, motivational, and also phenomenal business entrepreneurs as well, and we showcase them all here exclusively on Close Up Talk Radio, and it's a real privilege to do so. Of course, Close Up Talk Radio is a service of Close Up TV News. Don't forget our Facebook fan page, Close Up Talk Radio, and we're on Twitter at Close Up TLK Radio as well. Great guest today. You're going to be in for a real treat. Don't touch that remote, that dial, or internet stream. As we welcome Dr. Lael Telfian to our show. You know, every person has their own story or narrative. Other people sometimes, you know, and sometimes people can feel misunderstood or judged by others, or even dwell on the emotional trauma of the past, childhood experiences, things of that nature. The experience can interfere with one's overall functioning and may actually contribute to discomfort, anxiety, depression, and things of that nature. Relationships with family and friends and work are all affected as a result. And Dr. Telfian is a psychotherapist specializing in adults, adolescents, and children in individual family and couples therapy. Now, she has offices in Manhattan's Upper West Side, as well as on Great Neck, Long Island, New York. Dr. Telfian focuses on the strengths of each client to help them cope better with their difficulties, identifying their talents and skills to set goals and arrive at solutions. Now, if you think this is going to be a lecture, or this is going to be something that's just clinical or scientific, this discussion today, no way. She's very passionate, very enthusiastic, very engaging. She also likes to connect with her clients, and she's very dynamic, very enthusiastic about the people that she works with, and she has an uncanny, intuitive sense. She can read her patients very, very well, and that's why she's quite successful at what she does. Just in the show prep we did the last 15 minutes or so, we were engaged just talking about this, that, and the other thing, and I was able to, you know, feel her energy just in our conversation, and you'll hear that in just a moment. She thinks that she has a unique ability to relate to people of all ages, and that is a skill. We do that in our industry in communications, and she does it as well in hers, and it works very, very well, because that's what you need to do when you're trying to relate to people and when you're trying to help people with their lives. She's very young at heart, so she finds it easy to connect with people and of all ages. Having received her doctorate in clinical social work from NYU, Dr. Telfian possesses considerable expertise in the areas of even things like sexual abuse, child neglect, and domestic violence. And with over 30 years in the field, she has much experience in the areas of adolescent development, family dysfunction, attachment issues, substance use, and other traumatic circumstances. Literally, you name it, Dr. Telfian has seen it, and she's not afraid of it. Her profession is very much about people's resilience and their ability to tap into their internal and external resources. She feels her approach is very strength-based. Everyone leaves their first session with one or two goals because it's important for people to know what they want to accomplish and where they want to get, you know, even if they're suffering from depression. She can really, really help people get back on the horse again and start riding again and start having a more enjoyable, rewarding, and enriching life. And we'll talk about some of the ways that she goes about doing that. I just wanted to let you know as well, as I mentioned, she has a PhD from New York University and a master's degree in social work from the University of California. She has taught social work graduate school courses in clinical practice and human behavior at New York University, Stony Brook University, and Molloy College. She's also available for emergencies by telephone 24 hours a day and can set up appointments for crises if necessary. She's also worked in patient psychiatric for mental hospitals in Southern California. In New York, she's worked with runaway and homeless youth in Manhattan, and she's also done work as a manager for Child Protective Services of New York City for 14 years. She's quite accomplished. You can find out more at her website, www, and here I will spell it out for you. It's Dr. Dr. and then L-A-E-L, and then TELFEYAN.com. We'll mention it again during the broadcast for you as well, but that is her website in case you want to follow along and delve into her terrific website that she has established as well. Let's welcome Dr. Gail Lyle. I knew I was going to say Gail. Dr. Tofian to our show. I'm thinking of my cousin Gail. We were talking about Gail. How
Hi,
are you,
Tim?
You doing
well?
It's
such a great pleasure to be with you today. Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of yours.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I know you've been very excited about it and all pumped up because you have so much to share with us and share with our audience because, I mean, just I could have gone on another 20 minutes about your experience and about you know, all the successes. But tell us, you know, right off the top, if you can, what really did inspire you to become a clinical social worker and psychotherapist in the first place? I mean, there must have been, you're born with something that's there already, and then you tap into that.
Well, you know, Jim, it's certainly been a journey, and I probably started when I was, like, probably 1 or 2 years old with my brothers and my grandmother as a little child. But I come from a medical family, and so I spent my whole life hearing my dad, you know, working with patients and helping people 24/7. And I think that as I progressed through college and tried to figure out what was the right niche for me, you know, with my different talents, because I started in voice and then went into art and dance, and sociology became my major. And then when I was still a teenager, I went out and lived on a Navajo reservation for a while and got involved with the Hopi Indians and the Navajos. And that was such an enriching experience in my life, and I just learning about other cultures and about other peoples and about, you know, the definitely atrocities that have occurred in the world really shaped me. I think it really shaped me, and I found my field. I found it, and I've been committed to it ever since and have never wavered.
And you must have also had a desire to want to help people and to understand people and what makes them tick and want to learn more about people and sort of, you know, leave the world in a better state maybe. People fascinate you and you're drawn to people and open and accepting and all of those things are essential to be as successful as you are in what you do. You have to have an open mind, an open heart. You have to have a desire to want to work with people and help them through their lives. And I'm sure that's something that's just built within your system, right?
I believe that's true. And I think that, you know, wanting to not only contribute to our society in every possible way, helping people to really to reduce their inner suffering and their inner trials and tribulations, and to help people you know, maximize their potential is definitely a value in social work, as well as social justice, you know, working towards social justice and equity and being an advocate. And so I think all of those things come into play, and we all have to contribute to make our world a better place, because there's so many stressors in our lives today, and it can be very unbearable. It really can.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now tell us about, on a personal level, you know, mm-hmm. what do you think makes you stand out? If somebody's tuning in right now, they're like, oh, you know, they're going to talk about the same type of stuff, and she probably does what everybody else does. But like you said to me in the show prep, you got a different twist. You know, your personality is very, very enthusiastic, very engaging, and mm-hmm. you know, what makes
you think you're so good? I'm very genuine and very down to earth and very natural and, you know, not pretentious, and pretty much what you see is what you get. And I also have an ability to be extremely compassionate and to read people in terms of, you know, what we hear from people isn't always only about what people say, but it's, you know, being able to see beneath a little bit and a little beyond, and to read all the nonverbals and the behaviors and the qualities really helps to, I think, bring people out and make them feel more comfortable. You know, people are really suffering today from anxiety, a lot of anxiety and stress, and we live in such a, the whole social media, and little babies are growing up on iPhones now, you know, like at the age of one. So what's, you know, we've got so much stimulation that it can be very overwhelming.
We're overstimulated in a way, aren't we? We have this need or this desire, this want, or for some a compulsion to stay connected with everything, whether it's the inbox of our email, whether it's keeping up with, like you said, social media, checking the Facebook 1,000 times a day, and tweeting, and you know, all of the technology that's around us being plugged in 24/7. I mean, we're working harder and longer, and there's so much stress and confusion and people bickering, and it's just changed so much. There is a lot, all of that just compounds and adds. If somebody already is going through something, and to have all of that world swirling around them where they feel like they're not being connected, they're not keeping up with the Joneses, and all of this added pressure that's coming in, you're probably seeing an increase of people that are being affected and impacted by that, huh?
Well, I see it all the time. I mean, I think we all do. I just think that the fact that I specialize now in this kind of work, you know, is highlighted for me. But look at the school systems. I mean, I think teenagers are really having a hard time learning how to go to sleep at night now, because they feel like if they miss something while they're asleep, they're missing out on, you know, all kinds of communication among their peers. So it is a very high-stress world that we're in. People also feel a lot of anxiety about what's going to happen to them, what they're going to do, how they're going to make it. What, you know, who's doing what. I think trust is definitely affected as well, because it's very hard to trust people nowadays. You know, everybody wants to grab somebody else's cell phone and see who they're texting and what's going on. You know, it's a big
thing. I know what you mean. Like when we were growing, it was different, like, because, you know, even people are doubting trust in certain institutions, and there doesn't seem to be the heroes out there like there used to be. Everybody, you know, the culture is celebrating the bad and the outrageous and the outlandish much more. Like if you do something, you know, like case in point, like a situation with what's going on with Justin Bieber. You have the younger generation seeing that, and they're following every move and every breath and every, you know, they're consumed with it, and then everybody else becomes consumed with it, and spending all of that time on something like that when the time really could be put to better use, and it's doesn't impact your own life individually, but the celebrity-driven culture, too, has come into play. Everybody wants to be an overnight celebrity without putting
that's
in the years.
That's very true.
Yeah, the cell phones, the YouTube, all of that, huh? And that's impacting. People are doing things now that they would never, ever do in public or saying things just for that quick little instant fame. And that does have its downside to it. I mean, it can lead to a lot of problems later on, depression. I mean, a lot of things if they feel like they're not getting this attention that they want, right?
Well, I think it's pretty dangerous because I think it really impacts the internal fabric of values, and it affects people's sense of self. Like who, you know, sometimes when I'm working with someone, we just try to focus on like who are you and what are you about and what are your qualities and what are the qualities that you appreciate in someone else. And who are some of your role models and what kinds of values and ethics and attitudes and beliefs are important to you in order to give you more meaning about yourself? Because if you don't have a sense of confidence and self-awareness, you know, you don't really have the tools and the skills to cope in the society that we live in.
Exactly right. That's beautifully said. That's so true. Everybody is concerned with what somebody else is doing, that they're not really working on who they are and, you know, what they're all about. Now, tell us about your clients a little bit, and just in terms of you work with, which I said in the intro, all ages, all backgrounds, all demographics, everybody. I mean, at different levels and stages of their life, too, I would assume. They're not somebody who's necessarily has to be in a deep depression or other things. It could be just somebody that's confused or couples who are going through something. Mm-hmm. Take us a little bit through some examples of, you know, your clients, and there is no typical client.
Well, you know, I really love the fact that I have a generalist approach and that I do, because of my experience in my career, I have worked from babies to the elderly. So, you know, and I've studied a great deal in terms of, you know, human development and Eric Erickson's, you know, each stages of development and what people go through from birth until the end, you know. So, it's a beautiful thing to be able to work with families and children and who are so wise and so mature in so many ways, and adolescents who are beginning to struggle with, you know, who they're going to become, and then young adults who are going through college or have graduated from college and are trying to figure out what to do. And, you know, onward and upward. And couples go through so much. Relationships are so difficult today with the financial pressures and the, and we talked about all the media stuff, you know, that it affects relationships now. And also you have so many addictions, too. You have all this. These addictions to things on the internet now that affect families, and so everyone's kind of looking for something more, something better, and you really have to help people kind of focus on, as I said before, what is valuable in their life and what is important. And then, you know, there's so many other kinds of things. I mean, you have children who are dealing with separated or divorced parents, or parents who don't speak to each other, and what they go through in terms of feeling torn between the two people they love the most. So there's so many different issues. Also, children, I think, you know, do have a lot of anxiety at different points in time, and there's a lot of pressure on children now in terms of the school systems, which you hear about all the time, as well as violence in our society, which you were only too close to in Connecticut, in the school.
Newtown, Connecticut. So there's so much of that, too. Now there's, you're hearing about all of the school shootings and the mall shootings and the airport shootings and happening, you know, caused by a variety of different people, different ages, but a significant amount of the younger age, teenagers, loners, or hearing when they investigate that a little bit further, he was a quiet kid, or he stuck to himself, or he never caused trouble, or you're hearing so much about all of that, and bullying. Now you have the cyberbullying, the internet. I mean, there's so much more of that going on.
Exactly.
That presents a whole new realm that experts like you have to deal with, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very, very serious. And that's why, I really congratulate people who do seek out therapy or counseling, because I think it's a big step. You know, I get the majority of my referrals are self-referred people who find me on the internet through, searching, Google searching for therapists. And I really applaud that, and I applaud parents for seeking out help for their children. I've had people call me saying, I'm worried about my 3-year-old. I'm worried about my 2-year-old. I don't know how to approach this. And, if some of these adults who were then children got the help that they needed when they were small and they were developing some very serious anger and aggression problems, I think that we wouldn't have some of the problems that we've been facing, just in terms of being safe in our own country, in our own towns and communities and homes.
Well, that's the added thing, too, like we're talking about all this technology around us, too, that's influencing. People are feared they're going to be hacked on their computers, they're feared of identity theft, they're fearing home invasions. I mean, the economy. There's so much that's so big that's swirling around people that just adds to people's reaction and how they deal with it. And that's why, like you suggest, therapy. And a lot of people go. There's nothing shameful about going to therapy. Celebrities go, more your neighbors go. I mean, there's a lot more people that go and seek out the advice and counsel and the support than the average person even realizes. And there's nothing shameful if somebody's listening to, I'm not going to go to therapy, I don't need that, or that's not me, or I'm old school, or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that can be extremely, extremely helpful. And you do something called narrative therapy. How do you use that? Describe a little bit of that.
That's one of the approaches that I work with, and that kind of comes out of my qualitative research that I did, and it is used in qualitative research. But narrative therapy is really just helping people to tell their own story and to create a sense of meaning about their lives and about how it has shaped them as people. But more importantly, I think along with that is my focus on, people's strengths and working towards solutions. Because I think in our society today, that is what is required. How can I address some of the things that are getting in my way every day? So looking at, first of all, helping people to create a sense of meaning and value is very important. Then we have to identify some of the problems or the things that are getting in the way, whether it be I can't sleep at night or I obsess about little things that happen that will go on for days and days and days, or whatever it might be. We have to identify some of those things and then, set some very clear goals. Well, what are the things that you want to work on right now, immediately, short term, and then long term, where do you want to be as you go forward? What do you want to achieve? And so that I think it's really important that people feel a sense, it gives them a sense of mastery to know that they are taking steps towards something that they want.
That's a great way to describe it, absolutely. And that's what you really need to do. Now, I've heard it said that therapy sometimes is work. But once you've established that initial connection, what would you say is the approach in terms of motivating people to solve their problems? I know the first thing is the building of the trust in the relationship. There has to be trust, and that is essential, right?
Well, you know, people trust at different levels. Everybody has a different capability of trust. Because depending on what's happened in early life, you know, there can be tremendous obstacles for trusting others. So that is a process, just like in a marriage or in a family or in any relationship, you develop trust. It doesn't start and stop. So it's a process that develops, but you have to have some, like, willingness to collaborate. And I think therapy is a collaborative process, and the same thing with the narrative therapy is, you know, I'm a collaborator with my patients. I am here to help them develop the things within themselves. So in terms of motivating people, people motivate themselves, because if they're unhappy or if they're so anxious that they're having trouble functioning at work and at home, then that's their motivator. And if they're so depressed that it's hard to function, then that's their motivator. Or if they're in a relationship that is causing a great deal of, you know, discomfort, that's their motivator. So
that's
helping
motivator.
People stay on track is just really what I'm here to do.
And also, it's very important, I know you're a big believer in setting goals, that it's very important to not just do this haphazardly, but to try to set up some goals. And you stress that, don't you, a lot?
Yeah, and I really like, after every session, I like to do a recap. Okay, like, what did we do today? What did you get out of it? What are you going to leave with? Because, you know, one of the things that we really work on in this process is developing positive coping skills, reducing negative thinking patterns, right? Because it's very easy to get into a negative spin on whether it be yourself or your potential or your relationships. So we review, like, okay, I want people to feel that they can walk out and say, okay, I can take a deep breath now because I know that I achieved this much, even if it's a little bit. Like, even if it's about learning to go to bed a little bit earlier and how to get to sleep, so when you get up the next day, you're able to get up and do the things that you have to do.
Very important, absolutely. Very, very important to have this routine, to set up a routine and to stick with the routine. And that's where you're there to help. And I want to give out that website again so people can make contact with you. We've got about maybe a little less than 2 minutes.
My website is drlaeltelfian.com. Drlaeltelfian.com, yeah.
And is that the best way for folks to make contact with you if they have any questions?
Or Psychology Today. They can go on Psychology Today. They can go on to just N. Lael Telfy, and they can Google my name, and they'll find me right there. So there's many, many ways to find me.
I want to give out
that
website.
I think my phone number is on, I think it's on the press release or something. Guess my website is there. But
yeah. Well, spell that out for everybody, too. Dr. Lael Telfian, it is drlaeltelfian.com. That's the direct website if folks have questions. And if somebody's listening, you know, clear across the country or in Canada, anywhere, you can help with them over the phone, too. And
yeah.
A lot of different, there's Skype, there's many different things where technology can be a help now, right?
There's also online sites, too. You just have to be a little careful with the different states in terms of licensing laws and so forth, you know, because I am licensed in the state of New York. So that's where my clinical license is.
Any kind of
license, you know.
Exactly. So if they have any questions at all, they can find you at the website, make the initial contact there, and then you can chat with them further about everything. Well, Dr. Telfian, it was a real pleasure, and I hope I get a chance to chat with you more. I've got a million more questions.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It was a real pleasure. The half hour goes by so fast, but we do welcome you.
It did go by really fast, and it's just wonderful to talk to you and have you, you know, finding so many important people to bring forward. Thank you so much.
We appreciate that. Oh, it's our pleasure. It's our pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
I
thank you very much for joining us on the show, Dr. Telfian. I am Jim Masters, Close Up Talk Radio, and thank you for joining us as well. Have a great day.